Going to study the Or HaChaim on the pasuk Vayavo Ha'anoshim Al Hanoshim. Torah says that the gentlemen, the ladies, they all came bringing raw material which would be eventually built into the Mishkan. It's in a very interesting expression. Vayavo Ha'anoshim Al Hanoshim. Meaning they came, men, in addition to the women, or other such explanation for the word al hanashim, kol nadiv lev, hevi yuchach v'nezim v'tabas v'chumaz kol kli zahav, v'cholish asher heinif tenufas zahav l'hashem. This also comes after the previous pasuk already mentioned the Nedivus Halev. The previous pasuk reads, Vayavau kolish asher nesa'o libo, v'chol asher nadva rucho oisai, heviu es chumas Hashem, v'mlechas el moed, l'chol avoy dosai, l'vigdi ha-kodesh. So there's redundancy in the repetition of Nedivus Halev, the devotion of the people, and this unique expression of Vayavau ha-anishim al hanoshim. Let's see the Or HaChaim inside. Tzaruch ladas kavonas oimre al hanashim. What does the pasuk mean to tell us with this expression, anashim al hanashim? Oid lama kofa loimre pa macheres kol nediv leiv. Why does it repeat again the nedivus halev, this tremendous devotion of the hearts of the Bnei Yisrael? V'ulai ki yodiyah hakosuf oifa nidvaz leiv asher osu anshe hachoyu. The Torah perhaps is trying to tell us a little bit about this Nedivus Halev, and he calls them Anshei Choyl, meaning that there was a certain courage that people had to have. Ki, davar yadua hu, sheyesh hadragos b'ahavas hanechosim v'hem arbo. People treasure their belongings, and that sense of having your own things and desiring to have them and keep them, and then the idea of giving them up, so he says that there are four levels to this desirous sense of wanting to hold on, and then, on the flip side, of being able to let go and give it up for the Mishkan. Ha'alef, sheberishay nois, heim klei tachshite b'nei beisei shel odom, that which belongs to the people of your home, personal items, the things that belong to you, the fine clothing, the fine jewelry, that belong to your family. Uchlei habayis, the personal appurtenances, your fine linen that you use on your Shabbos table, and fine cutlery and silverware. Dvarim elu yigdal erkam be'enei ha'adam mikol kinyan kasboy. That's what's most precious to us, because it's personal, and it's valuable, and it's in the home, it's what we live with, and it graces our Shabbos, it graces our special moments and special occasions, and our own wives are beautified, our husbands made handsome with their gold watch, whatever it might be, yeah? V'hadavar pashutu, that's clear. That's the first level, highest level of personal item that you treasure and that you want to keep safe. Beis, the second level, hazahav. Gold, even if it's in the form of coins or bullion, ki mikol kinyanim sheyeshna ba'olam yoyhav hazov yoyse mikulam. And that's why to this day people maintain some investments in gold. Gimel, lesser, the third and lesser level of attachment someone would have to their belongings, dvarim she'enam banimtza, zulas etzlo, something unique. Something that, you know, it's in and of itself maybe is not something so utilitarian, but it's something unique, and no one else has it. Zulas etzlo. So therefore, yigdal ma'alosam be'en of yoyser mi shir shavyom. Right? So that's something worth a lot to you. You know, not a very common thing to catch a ball at a baseball game. So when you catch a ball at a baseball game, you know, you hold on to it. So I remember once I didn't do it too often, but I did take the kids to a game, and I was looking at a sefer, and just as I looked up, a foul. As I looked up, a bounced ball, a bounced on one level below us, a foul ball, and up I lifted my hand and caught it on one bounce. And my kids looked at me like, Abba, you never go to a baseball game. We go all the time. We never caught a ball. You know, okay. It was something, I think it was a Philadelphia player named Strange. That was his name. A strange ball. So anyway, I gave it to Heschel. It was his birthday. But that's the kind of thing that, you know, it doesn't have value to anybody else. Yeah, but it's just unique, so it has value to you, right? That's a keepsake that sometimes is just very personal, right? That's the third level. He also means things that are rare. They're just simply rare. You know, you don't have them commonly. It's a yakar hametzius. You know, it could be something like the unique precious stone, a gemstone, but one that with a unique cut or a unique size, which is precious for many reasons. But the point is, it's very unique. It could be, you know, an old car, a collector's, what do they call them, a vintage automobile. So that's also something that, you know, that he's referring to here. Dalid, the least of our treasured items that we have our least attachment to, heim shar kinyani ha'adam, kesef u'shvei kesef. All the rest of whatever we own, where it's just a question of dollars, what's it worth? But it doesn't have this kind of nostalgic attachment, doesn't have this kind of personal meaning or value to us. V'sider ha'kosev ha'dragos ha'misnadvim ba'am. The pasuk is, in a sense, giving us the order in which people giving to the Mishkan gave up even that which would be the most valuable to them personally. V'rishayin b'kaydesh hiskel bay. So it begins with rishayin b'kaydesh, meaning where people have, as he said, the first darga, things that are valuable, that belong to you, that you wear, that beautify yourself, that adorn your wife, that adorn your Shabbos table, your furniture, your fine furniture and fine furnishings. V'amar, so the pasuk says, V'ayavau ha'anoshim al hanoshim. Perish, masha al hanoshim. He's suggesting, V'ayavau ha'anoshim, that the men came with their wives intending to give up what they had given their wives. They were going to give up the finest jewelry that their wives had. Perish masha al hanoshim kol nediv lev heviu oisam. They brought their jewelry. V'sider hakosav hatachshitim sheheviu. And the Torah in that pasuk lists what the items were. Choch. You know, bracelets, venezem, rings, tabas, kumas, kol klizoho. Laharois chibas hamisnadvim. To show the level of love of Hashem and love for this mitzvah of those who were making these donations. Shilerotzu lahavi ela davar hayoyser mu'ula. They didn't just bring nuggets of precious metal. They took what was their own personal kesef, for example. You know, you have a beautiful set of flatware, silver, and you say, let's make adonim, melt them down and we'll make adonim for the Mishkan. The chaviv etzlam, even though it's so beloved to them, hagam sho'imdim l'shvira u'l'kalkel, it's all going to be broken down and melted. Af al pikein ahava nafsham chibas ha'koidesh. Mikol Yikar Ra'asa, it's based on a pasuk in Iyov. Mikol Yikar Ra'asa Einam. That is that of the most beauty that they could see. Whatever was the apple of their eye, they said, give it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let it become part of the Mishkan. V'heviyu kol tachshitin nishayim choch v'nezim v'tabas v'chumas, etc. V'diktek loy mar nediv lev. It says here Nediv Lev, because now the Aruch Chaim is going to differentiate between Nediv Lev and Nodva Ruchai. They are not the same. He says, Da ki yesh hefresh, know and understand there's a difference between Yidvenu Libo le Nediv Lev. Ki Yidvenu Libo yamer, that expression Yidvenu Libo will be used Al kol asher yisnadev milibay. That will be used whenever someone gives up something and donates something, however much there is in that heart to give, no matter how much quantitatively or how little quantitatively that heart desires to give. Yidvenu Libo means whatever his heart desires, as much or as little, as precious or as ordinary, as he is able to bring himself to give. V'yeshi Yidvenu Harbe, v'yeshi Yidvenu Muat. Some will have their hearts push them to give more, some less. Avol Nediv Lev. The words Nediv Lev, Ye'omer Alev Nediv. Nediv Lev means that devotion of a devoted heart. V'hu haramuz bo'emrei asher nisa'oi libay. Hence that expression of asher nisa'oi libay. Because when the Torah uses asher nisa'oi libay, it means the height of devotion. And then it says v'chol asher nodva ruchai, which is not necessarily as high a level of devotion. Ki mi shalibay nadiv yisnadev yoiser mehayachilas. The person who has that kind of devotion actually will give up more than he must, maybe even more than he can. V'lo yakbid al hachisaron asher yimtzeenu, and won't care that now they have too little, maybe even for themselves. They're happier to give than to have it. There are stories about Rav Chaim Mitzanz who literally gave up everything he had. Every Friday, every Erev Shabbos, the Rebbetzin wouldn't know how they're making Shabbos because he would be mefazer aniyim to make sure that everybody else could make Shabbos.
I wanted to touch on the Nediv Lev is an adjective describing the essence of the person.
Right.
Yidvenu Libo is the overt behavior.
100%. Yidvenu Libo means that his heart acted upon him in a certain way, but it doesn't necessarily mean
his mahus.
That his right. It doesn't mean that his entire character, his whole being, is defined as he is.
But
a Nediv Lev.
This seems to be saying more that it's Yosef Mayacholet.
Right.
Above and beyond.
Right. Nediv Lev means that the person, by definition, is just a giving person, right. By definition, to such an extent that he'd give up everything. He's happier to give than to have. V'aymroi. Kol Kli Zahav. So normally we teach Kol Kli Zahav, we explain that it means all different kinds of gold. Says the Aruch Chaim, no. There were people who gave Kol Kli Zahav all the gold they had. Perish Leitaymar Ki Litzad Shehoyu Lehem Hatachshitin Hu Sheheviu LaHashem HaKefel. Don't think that it's because, well, I have another bracelet, so I can give this one up. They're not, you know, I have four bracelets. I got five pair of cufflinks. I've got, you know, six tie, what do they call, tie clips of gold. How many do I need? All right, I'll give two of them to the Mishkan. No. Not that there's kefil, meaning that they had redundancy, that they had similar jewelry that they kept for themselves. Lazet Omar, kol kli zahav. This pasuk is talking about those who gave up everything. Shlahi nichu lehem kli zahav. And then it says, Choch, Nezem, Shem Hamin, the kind of jewelry we're talking about, and every bracelet, and every ring, and every earring was given up. Oyirtza, Kol Klizov, Lemar, Shalahinich, Bevesam, Kol Min Klizov, Shebehem Yishtashea Adam. They left not one gold item in their possession. So the first suggestion was that it's all of those gold bands, all gold earrings, all gold chains. Now what he's saying is maybe Kol Kli Zahav means all gold items they gave up. There were people, those were the Nediv Lev, those are the people who are more interested in giving than having. Whatever you would enjoy, he has no more enjoyment from the gold. He's giving it up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. My joy is in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not in my gold, jewelry, or whatnot. It could be that they were still on the women, that the women came wearing their beautiful jewelry and took it off once they arrived at Moshe's oil. It was still al hanoshim. But the men brought, they came as families, wearing the jewelry. What a beautiful scene, you understand? Because the malacha that we're talking about here, this is called malachas ha-mishkan already. The carrying and the conveying of material, the Gemara says, is Malachas HaMishkan, and it was referred to as Malacha by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah. And they're doing it adorned and bedecked and bejeweled with the very precious items that they're going to give. Ki ramaz ba'emna al anashim shehevium aleihem. They wore, as they came to Moshe, what it was they were going to donate. Uvevayam lefnei Moshe hayridu ed yomei aleihem. And then, when they got to Moshe, they took it off, gave it as their donation to the Mishkan Hashem. Chiba Yisera Neidas Lehem Bazeh La'Adoneinu Baruch Hu. Showing this tremendous love, and I would suggest also beautifying the mitzvah of presentation by wearing this, like you would on a day of Yom Tov, on a day of a special occasion. Hadraga Beis, the second level is, He has Zahav. She'ena osu tachshit keneged ha'mevi mebuchino zo amar v'chol isha she'enif tnufas zohav la'Hashem. That's the end of the pasuk. After mentioning kol kli zohav, the pasuk then says v'chol isha she'enif tnufas zohav la'Hashem. And it has to be that they're different, because otherwise the pasuk is just being totally redundant. So the Rechaim, in a brilliant stroke, says that there are levels of devotion. And the last words of the pasuk are describing devotion of gold, but nothing that's so personal as the jewelry or heirloom or whatnot. You know, it's something that's just very valuable because it's precious metal. Gimel, dvarim she'enem benimtza ki hoye bamidbar ve'ein shom benimtza tcheles ve'argamon. The next pasuk reads, V'chol ish asher nimtza itay. That's why it says asher nimtza itay. If someone had tcheles argomen to la'ashoni, sheish v'izim v'ayres elim adamim, v'ayres tchoshim heviyu. So that's the third level. V'kneged ha'mevi mehem amar, v'chol ish asher nimtza, tcheles v'argomen, etc. Dalid, finally, v'hu madrega shalomata mikulon, the list of all of the Madregos levels of devotion, Bivchina Asakinyonim, where it's least personal to you, it's Kesef, Shvei Kesef, just coins, you know, money, or other items that are worth some money. Omar, on that, and referring to that donation, then third Pasuk says, Kol Meirim Trumas Kesef Unechoshes Heviu Es Trumas Hashem. So we have this beautiful division of these four different kinds of devotion in order in these three psukim. The greatest devotion of most personal items, then gold, then unique items that are otherwise not common, certainly not in the midbar, and finally, money, or something worth money. Now he talks about something fascinating. Now he's turning to the pasuk that we just started, the third pasuk, which says v'chol ha'shanimtzu itay atzei shittim l'chol melechas havayda heviu. That's the last half of the third pasuk. Whoever had atzei shittim. He explains that obviously atzei shittim would not be dragged into the midbar unless we knew that we need it for the building of a mishkan. It's not as if they were going to use it for any other purpose. So he explains, Eilu ein lehem kinui nedava. What's described here is giving as bringing. V'chol ha'shanimtzu itay atzei shittim l'chol melechas havayda heviu. The beginning of the pasuk, when it's talking about kesef and nechoshes, it says kol meirim trumas kesef and nechoshes. This is not a truma to give atzei shittim. Rather, if they happen to be those people who took the wood that Yaakov had told us to take with us, so they presented the wood to Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what he's going to explain. V'hatam al derech Imram. Zechonim levracha ki tzofa Yaakov Avinu, Yaakov saw Baruch Kodshoi, that there's going to be a Mishkan. Ritziva unta'um le'tzorche Mishkan. And he had these planted in Mitzrayim so that there would be wood that we could take with us so that we could build the Mishkan in the Midbar. V'lazeh lo'yomer ela v'chol ha'shanim tz'itoy atzei shittim heviyu. So it's not a truma, and it's not a nedava, and those words don't appear in relation to atzei shittim. Because wood was something that they only took with them for the purpose of building the Mishkan. No one had wood with them for their own personal use. The diktek leima l'chol meleches ha'avoida l'tzadek divareinu. And that's why it says l'chol meleches ha'avoida, that it was taken for that purpose. That's the only reason they had it with them. L'chol meleches ha'avoida, the pasuk says, l'tzadek divareinu, it causes us to understand how correct this explanation is, ki mitzias atzei shittim b'yodam hoya l'tzarchim l'chas ha-mishkan. The only reason they had the wood with them was for the needs of building a mishkan. Shem loy kain, l'hoya tzarech loymar kain. Otherwise, you wouldn't have to say so. V'od hoya loy l'haktim loymar heviyu v'ach kach yomar l'chol melechas ha-mishkan. They brought it for the purpose of the mishkan. No, obviously they brought it for the purpose of the mishkan. There's no other reason to have atzei shittim. So that's why the pasuk says, those who had atzei shittim destined to be used for avoida because there was no other reason to use it, heviyu, they brought it.
How come, you know, like we Torah didn't prepare us for this? Like we didn't know this existed before we actually say in this pasuk. You know, by Asmos Yosef, Yosef made the shvua, then it says Moshe took Asmos Yosef kiash be'ashpia. Like there's no, this is obviously a very important thing that they need to use it. And if Yaakov Avinu saw it, did he transmit it? It was a Masorah through the
apparently,
shiur, everything.
This is something that he must have understood. Baruch Kodshai or Benevua has to be done. And it's, so to speak, Torah Shebal Peh, and remained Torah Shebal Peh. It is possible that exactly what use and when you'll make use and to build what, where, maybe that was a detail or the details of what Yaakov Avinu was told were not all given over. Maybe some of those details were not shared with Klal Yisrael. But this is what the Medrash famously says.
Actually, to support that, it says, Bikash Yaakov Agala says a ketz, one charge that goes in the ketz of Mitzrayim, is Talkum and Shechina. So this planting of the Atzei Shittim would not be any pragmatic marker for Klal Yisrael, whereas Yosef, Pokud Yivkut, was the marker.
Right.
When you use the word prophet. So that was necessary for her to explicate. I'm just thinking out loud.
There is a difference. Yeah, no.
Yaakov,
there's a difference.
And like Midrashic.
And Atzmus Yosef, you know, have a certain importance, has a certain importance to us that's even greater, maybe even the Nazi Shita. Maybe that's something that we see. Truthfully, again, you know, there are Mefarshim. Ibn Ezra suggests that they came to an area that was wooded in the desert, and that's where they found Atzei Shittim. In all due respect, he says, to the Medrash, but otherwise, you know, why would the Yidden have carried this all out with them? If they have not been commanded about a Mishkan, why are they busy carrying all this wood out with them? Not only that, and then he says, and if you're carrying out wood to build a structure, the Mitzrayim were told by the Yidden that they were going to go out for only 3 days. You're going for 3 days and you're taking building material with you. Okay.
But in Pekas it says, in the book, They came to Shittim.
The place came to Shittim. Yeah, but that was
after.
That was a different.
That was a negative.
And much later. And much later.
There was a precedence for in the middle.
They did not devote or donate so much as they carried it with them. They didn't devote it. It wasn't something they gave up personally. This is something easily understood. Now he says, with what we've expressed, which is that there are these levels of devotion, and finally, which you're carrying, but you're not necessarily giving up, you're not donating. Yesh tam nochem lama amar b'chol pratu prat heviu. Why it keeps using the word heviu for each different kind of donation? V'lo hispuk ba'achas. The answer is, ki ein hadraga sahavo shavo. So it's a beautiful way of looking at the psukim and explaining, but it's also a masterful way of saying, look, Klal Yisrael, some have more devotion, some have less devotion. Everybody makes his way into the Torah. Those with the most devotion first, those with the devotion of their gold second, those with devotion of what's uniquely theirs, and they have precious material like Tcheles, Argomen, Tlas, Shani. They give that up, that's tremendous devotion. Those who give up money, tremendous devotion. The Torah lists them with these hadragos, madrega, madrega, but everybody was involved. Not everybody was the same. But that doesn't have to always be the case. It had to be the same for the Adonim. Everybody had to give a machzis, a shekel, so that we would build a Mishkan that's based on a foundation that all of us partake in. The foundation, the Adonim, that hold up the Krushim, that comes from us all. After that, once the foundation is shared, after that, the edifice, the building of Klal Yisrael, the Mishkan, which reflects the building of Klal Yisrael, has many different parts to it, has many different facets to it, and it's devotion that is reflection of, or reflective of, each individual Jew and what he or she wants to give to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and give up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have to know that when a person devotes himself to the Ribbono Shel Olam, we can't judge, we don't know what it is that that person gave up. What it is that person has sacrificed. Maybe it's a half hour in the morning to do a Seder, or a half hour or an hour to do a Chesed, or his or her ability to help a Moisid, to help an institution of Torah with some good advice. Or who knows? But the point is, everybody has their kind of devotion, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu cherishes each kind of devotion, each person, in the way that he or she can devote themselves. Now, I just want to skip down just to Pasuk Lamed Daled. And then we'll conclude. It's just a short piece. Because here he says on the Pasuk, Ulaharais, Nasan Belibai, Huv Aliyah Benachisam Machlamati Don, Mileaisam Chachma Slave, Lasses kol melechus charish v'chayshe v'reikim b'tchelus v'argamna b'tulas hashoni v'hashesh v'oireik oisei kol melecha v'chayshe v'machashavos u'lehoires nosan b'libay. So the pasuk that introduces this before milei oisem, before it says that they were full of this wisdom and they had the ability to have just the right means of creating ma'ase chayshev, which we don't even today know how it would be done. You know, a tapestry that shows one creature on one side and another on the other side. Introducing this, the pasuk before, Ulahairais Nasan Belibai, which we typically mean understand to mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him how to teach it, how to give over their Chachma, Aliyah, and Bitzal, how to give over what they knew and understood to the craftsmen who would then be able to follow their orders, follow their instructions, and accomplish it. But let's see what the Reish Lakish says inside. Perish. Letzad sheyesh chachamim rabim shetiyah chachmosim belibam levad. There are so many people who have the ken, they have the expertise, but it's something that they have the feeling and the right touch for it, but nobody else could do it. It's belibam levad, shelo yodu lelamado, and they wouldn't know how to give it over and how to teach it. L'zeh amar ulahay reis nosan beliboy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them, placed in their hearts, his skill chachmas halimud. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped them by giving them the ability to give over this holy wisdom of how to create the Mishkan and its kelim, where normally, humanly, they, with the wisdom they had, would not have been able to give over to others that expertise. Here HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the expertise, had them with knowing hearts understand exactly what Hashem was asking for and how to create it, and then they were given the ability to teach that and to give it over to those who would hear and listen and follow suit. Od ba lishlol ma shekosov beperigim liyoma shel beis garmul ratzul lamed al ma'aseh lechem aponim. There were those who were expert in making lechem aponim. They didn't want, however, to share the secret. Shel beis aftinos, who were expert in preparing the ketores, and they didn't want to. They didn't want to share, and they're criticized for that. V'hodiyonu akosuv ki al elu yamer, that in the case of Aholiyav and Bezalel, zecher tzadik levracha ki hayu meirim umelamdim kol haraitza. They had this unique expertise that nobody else had, and they were happy, only too happy, to give up of this knowledge and share it, even though it was this really God-given spirit of holy knowledge to build Hashem's Mishkan, which is like so uniquely theirs. But they gave up that knowledge to others and shared it, and that's the point of the pasuk. As opposed to others who in later generations knew some of the great secrets of how to prepare for avodah lechem aponim ketores and didn't want to give up the secret.
It's interesting, though, that Hashem does not choose to tell each person how to do his job. Instead, it's this method of transmission of the skill.
Right.
So they learn how to do it, and also...
Well, not everybody was... I mean, obviously, Bezalel ben Uri ben Hur, and the choice of Aholiyav ben Achisamach, this was a very hand-picked crew, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu knowing that these people are correct and deserving of receipt of such holy knowledge, and then they will transmit it to others. But to receive it, you had to be Bezalel, you had to be Aholiyav. And the Torah is, according to Aruch Chaim, he's making two points. One, that they were given not only the ability to know it themselves, but to impart this unique holy knowledge to others who would understand it. Because if it's coming from Shemayim, to put it into words and give it over to other people requires HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help them be able to give that over. And then secondly, it's just praising them for the fact that they wouldn't keep selfishly this kind of expertise to themselves.
The liminal